Remember, this class is on moral theology, or the moral teaching of the Catholic Church. In our last week's class, we saw something about the seven capital sins, which are basically the seven capital drives of our fallen human nature. And remember, the memory scheme places G, pride, lust, anger, covetousness, envy, sloth, and gluttony. In today's class, I want to cover at least have an overview of the virtues. And number 104, question 104, to follow in your textbook. If any of you do not have a set of these notes, Daniel Pieper there is the one who very kindly made copies of my own unpublished, this has not been published, notes. Now, Daniel, do you have sets available? So, anyway, Daniel Pieper, then, anybody who needs a set, so on 104 in our Catechism of Moral Theology, what is virtue? Virtue is a quality that enables a person to perform good actions. That's the best definition of virtue from the Catholic perspective. In Latin, there are two words for power. They are potentia and virtus. Potentia is physical power. The power, say, of a hurricane to level a whole city. The power of a few to run a machine. The power of electricity to turn on the lights. The power of the muscles to move. So physical material power in Latin is potentia. But in Latin, there's another word for power, virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. And this is not material power, this is spiritual power. Matter has power to do whatever the material thing can do. But spirit also has power. God is almighty. He is all powerful. And God is God, has no long pause body. And except for the power of spirit, there wouldn't be matter in the world. Without God, nothing would exist. And God is not a material bodily being. Now, there are two main, and in Latin, the plural of virtus is virtutes. There are two principal virtutes, or powers, of spirit. And they are in the mind and in the will. In English and other languages derived from the Latin, virtue, from the Latin virtus, means a spiritual power, a power of the Spirit. However, it is selectively used in the Kali vocabulary to describe the power of a spirit to do what is good, to perform good actions. And thus we, human beings, having a soul, have virtues insofar as we are able to perform good actions. Now, what's a good action? A good action is whatever is pleasing to God. One definition. A good action is whatever leads us to our final destiny. Second definition. Then you can close the book. That's it. Now I got a lecture for 4 semesters on those 2 statements. A good action is one that is pleasing to God. A good action is one that leads us to our eternal destiny. And a virtue, therefore, is the power that enables us to perform those kind of actions. How do virtues differ according to their origin? I have another set here, by the way. Anybody need a set? There are more available. So 1 of 5, how do virtues differ according to their origin? They are either acquired by repetition of good acts or infused supernaturally by God. I know of no single statement in Catholic morality that is more basic than this. In other words, we as Catholics believe there are 2 kinds of virtues, 2 kinds of powers that we can and should possess. One power, one virtue is called acquired. How do you acquire? Well, an acquired virtue. By performing acts of that virtue. And that language, even the unbelieving world understands. Aristotle wrote a thick book on ethics, about 300 years before Christ, talked about acquiring virtues. Consequently, provided, that's the proviso, provided I perform a good action, even once, there is then a built-in tendency to repeat that action until, if the action is performed often enough, I acquire what then we call the virtue. And from that perspective, therefore, a virtue is not only the ability, it is the facility of performing a given action. Not only that, not only is a virtue, therefore, the ability to perform the action, or even just the facility, the ease. Once, you've been on time twice, then it becomes easier to be on time and not late the third time. So there's a facility, an ease that is developed by performing an action of then the hopeful virtue that you want to acquire. But thirdly, a virtue not only gives us the ability to perform the action or the ease or facility, it also enables us to perform the action properly as it should be done, That too comes from the repetition of the action. Not only that, an acquired virtue gives us the ability to practice or perform the good act, enables us to do so easily, enables us to do it effectively, and here's the best. A virtue enables us to perform the action enjoyably. Isn't that great? That's the secret. Do something often enough, and as incredible as it may seem, you'll actually enjoy doing what you're supposed to do. All of this, therefore, is locked up in virtue, but especially what we call an acquired virtue. What are the acquired virtues? Basically, we may say, the acquired virtues are one virtue for the mind, called prudence, and three virtues for the will, namely justice, fortitude, and temperance. Now these four, let's call them acquirable virtues, are also, we believe, when a child is baptized, even though those virtues can be acquired, they're also honest, they're also infused. So the moral virtues are also acquirable, but we believe the moral virtues are also infused at baptism. We go on. How do virtues differ according to their object? 106. In other words, in terms of what the virtues are concerned with, there are then theological and moral virtues. Theological, of course, are faith, hope, and charity. Moral, we've just identified. Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. What are the theological virtues? Let's briefly define them. Faith, which is in the mind. Every listing of virtues always begins with virtues of the mind. The primary theological virtue is faith. We believe with the intellect. We have two other virtues, theological, hope and charity. They are in the will. So too the moral virtues. The moral virtues, first, is prudence. And prudence is in the intellect. The other three, justice, fortitude, and temperance, are in the will. Why, in any listing of virtues, why are the virtues in the mind always first? Because unless there were faith in the mind, there couldn't be hope or charity in the will. We cannot hope unless first we know with our mind there's something to hope for. Without faith, there's no hope. That's why people without faith are without hope. And so too for charity. Without faith, there can be no charity. As I know on faith, whom I am to love and why, I cannot begin to love. And so to the moral virtues, justice, fortitude, and temperance depend absolutely on the virtue of prudence, which is called the Queen of all the moral virtues. I'm not reading the further commentary. I do ask you, please, read those commentaries. We're going to cover this in one semester. We better, well, have you do something and not I just talk. The moral virtues, therefore, are immediately directed towards human perfection. Theological virtues are directed towards God. The name of God in Latin is Deus. In Greek is Theos. You might say they are the godly virtues, the theological ones. The moral virtues are concerned with relationship to other people. And thus, we sometimes divide the Ten Commandments. The first three of the Ten Commandments have to do with God. They correspond to the theological virtues. The last seven correspond to our responsibility in patriotic immorality towards others, and they are therefore the moral virtues. What does prudence do? Enables a person to make correct judgments. Prudence. Let me tell you how important this is. Not all intelligent people are prudent people. Did you know that? People can be positive geniuses intellectually. And can be almost mentally out of their minds when it comes to prudence. In fact, the more intellectually gifted a person is, the more that person needs guidance. In any case, prudence, therefore, is the virtue that enables us to make correct judgments. It's not how much I know, how many books I've published, how many degrees I have behind my name. It's, do I know what to do here and now? I read in the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor. So, I'm supposed to love. So what do? I go down the street and I embrace every person in sight. Am I the third or fourth person? I may have a policeman behind my back. Brilliant ideas have got to be used prudently. And the one area of morality which all of us, beginning with the speaker, most need to examine our consciences on and daily ask ourselves, how prudent have I been in my speech? To speak when I should. To talk as loud as I should and no louder. You know what to say. To whom. When. Where. You talk soft. Romantic language. At a certain time of the evening, with certain musical sound in the background, with a cool summer breeze blowing, and whether you know it or not, if you're not aroused, somebody else will be. Am I making sense? Prudence. That as the first virtue, and it governs the whole moral order. Injustice, to respect the rights of others. Everybody has rights. And who has the most rights? Who has a primary claim on our respecting his rights? God. That's another name for religion. Religion is the virtue of justice towards God. Do people have a right to have us pay attention to them? Do they? They have a right for us to talk to them. Do people have a claim? Do they have a right to our love? Do they? Well, the word charity has been desacralized in the English-speaking world. Charity is a duty, a right. And the one that we are first and mainly to love is who? God. He has a claim on it. He has a right to it. And then other people have rights. I was coming back from giving Holy Communion to an aged couple some blocks away from the university. And I was walking, as I should, on the right side of the sidewalk. Another fellow, about 17 years old, also walking, he on the left side, towards me. Thought to myself, who's going to respect the rights of whom? I thought I would bring this up in class, depending on what he did. Well, I was too dangerously close for me to expect him to respect my rights. He wouldn't budge. You follow me? What we call charity, believe me, in 90% of the cases, is plain justice. People have a right to it. Third, persevering in doing good in spite of hardships. In other words, we need a virtue to control our fears. We all naturally and spontaneously fear, all of us. How are we supposed to fear? We better. I had a young boy, I was told about this by someone, told by his parents, no. When you cross the street, be sure to look both ways. So, somebody saw this, so the boy was looking both ways. Traffic moving, cars screeching, he was looking both ways. Is fear a gift from God? It sure is. But we need a virtue to enable us to fear what we should and not fear what we should not. That's why we need the virtue of fortitude or courage to master our fears. And finally, we all have desires. I'm sure I've asked this before. Are all of our desires always good? Do we sometimes have bad desires? Sometimes? And just because we've got a desire doesn't mean we're supposed to give in to the desire. Our desires must be mastered. I like the one translation of the Beatitude where we are told, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for what is right. We got to be able to ask ourselves, every time we have a desire, if we desire something which is unpleasant, we can desire only what is pleasant. But is everything which is pleasant to us pleasing to God? Is everything pleasant to us pleasing to God? No. So what have I got to do? Grit my teeth and clench my fists. And I may have to walk away. I may even have to run away. The impulse may be so strong. But we need a virtue to control those desires. Number 109. Which virtues are infused and which are required? Now, let's read the answer. Theological virtues are all infused. But once infused, they grow through being put into practice. Hear it. The virtues of faith, hope, and charity must be practiced, otherwise we lose them. But can I be heard in the back of the room? Can I be heard? Father, can I be heard? I can be heard.
Yes.
Did you say yes?
Not very well.
Please? One reason I stand when I teach class, I can usually tell how well I'm either being heard or being listened to. In other words, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity are all acquired the moment we are baptized. We have the power to believe, the power to hope, and the power to love God above all things, and out of others, out of love for God. But unless these virtues are practiced, they weaken and even are lost. In other words, just because the virtues of, again, faith, hope, and charity are supernaturally infused, poured in, that's what it means literally, by God in baptism, is no guarantee of keeping those virtues. The virtues are powers, but the powers must be used. Unless they're used, they'll be lost. And then a person who had the virtue of faith and lost it, that person is much worse and much more dangerous than one who never had the faith in the first place. The most dangerous people in the world are the apostates from Christianity. Because then they are used by the evil spirit to sow, as the Gospels tell us, to sow error. I never tire repeating and telling people, every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. I mean every syllable. Every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. And the more pious the person is, the more learned the person is, the more reputation the person may have for piety. If they do not have the virtue, say, of faith, they are very dangerous to everyone whose lives they touch. The moral virtues are all acquired, but they're also infused through the communication of divine grace. What are we saying? The moral virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Can be acquired by repetition, but God also confers His grace. Already at baptism, we receive a title to possessing and growing in the moral virtues. You can never acquire an infused virtue. In other words, you either have the faith or you don't. You have the virtue of hope or you don't. You have the virtue of charity or you don't. And listen, anyone who has lost the virtue of faith, hear it and don't forget. Anyone who has lost the virtue of faith always, always has lost the virtue of hope and has lost all supernatural charity. The virtues of hope and charity cannot exist. They do not exist except in a person who still has some faith. And that is why the cruelty, and I mean cruelty, demonic cruelty, of those who had apostatized from the true faith is worse than human nature by itself could ever produce. It is, and the adjective is deliberate, it is demonic. Why are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance called cardinal virtues? That's another name. Notice we call them first acquired virtues, which can also be infused by God's grace. Acquired virtues, we call them moral virtues. We also call them cardinal virtues. Different names for the same four basic virtues. Because on these four, all the other moral virtues depend. Prudence perfects the mind to make right decisions. Justice perfects the will in dealing with God and other people. Courage controls the passions of anger and fear. And temperance masters human desires in the use of things. For as many times as we've read or heard temperance used regarding what, when we speak of a person practicing temperance, what do we normally think in English? A person who does not what?
Drink.
Does not indulge in drink. Yet, the virtue of temperance is especially and desperately needed to control our sexual desires. Chastity is the virtue of temperance. Imagine promoting temperance in the use of sexual desires. And that's not only our faith, that's even good sanity. In other words, our nation is a profoundly, desperately intemperate society, where the desire, the impulses, and not only for food or drink, but for example, may I ask, are we all, as human beings, Are we all naturally lazy? All naturally lazy? Yes. Eater? Yes. Sociologists in other countries, as just as well, most Americans don't read other languages. The United States has the reputation for being the laziest society on earth. Father, how dare they say that? What else can they say? Labor-saving devices. My Lord, what have we got muscles for? Then what do? We manufacture machines. To give the muscles exercise. That should have been exercise. Well, naturally. I remember visiting, shall I say, a friend of mine in Beverly Hills, California. Yeah, I would describe it as the nearest thing to an earthly paradise. Not a single home in Beverly Hills, not one, $100 million. Are there any sidewalks in Beverly Hills? Who walks these days? Am I still making sense? In other words, these virtues, the moral virtues, are cardinal. These four are cardinal virtues because everything else depends. Here, the virtue of temperance. Now watch this. The virtue of temperance has the connotation, unfortunately, has the connotation of control, if not, well, exceeding the limit. Well, temperance does, of course, imply that we should not say, well, overdo whatever we're doing, not overeat. Not overdrink. Pardon me, not oversleep. And oversleep does not mean merely getting up late. Oversleep means sleeping too much. Am I still clear? Not oversitting. It does mean, therefore, not over this or over that. But temperance means we have power that God wants us to use. How about chastity? Yes. God wants us to use our power of procreation. But he's the one who determines how that power is to be used, and with the resounding emphasis, and with whom. And as believing Christians, we know that the powers that God gave us that can and should be used with his grace, say, in the sacrament of matrimony, can be sacrificed. But why? How many times I've asked this in class. Why has God given some people the grace to sacrifice their totally legitimate sexual satisfaction in marriage? Why? So they can love and love more. because to practice chastity, just to pick out one virtue, it is not merely a matter of controlling one's sexual passions. It is loving so deeply that a person is practicing chastity in it, but chastity not only in self-control, but chastity in giving oneself wholeheartedly to the God by whom we were made and to whom we are going. Because, okay, nobody told you what should be the foundation of chastity. What should it be? Charity. And in the absence of charity, as how many spouses, especially wives, have told me, "Father, oh, he's a positive actor, he's a professional, and showing how much he loves me. But I tell you, Father, it is putting on. He's an actor. It is love that is the foundation of authentic, Christ-like chastity." Can we go on? What is the golden mean, 111, in the practice of virtue? It is the balance between two extremes, either too little or too much. 112 is of a golden mean in the practice of theological virtues. Yes, but only objectively. In the manner of our believing, hoping, trusting, and loving God, we are to do so wisely, according to the measure of grace. But objectively, the first word should have been subjectively. But objectively, there can be no limit to either believing in God too strongly, trusting in Him too firmly, or loving Him too ardently. But we are in the way that we believe. For example, we believe that God is master of the universe. We believe He is almighty. And therefore, I expose myself unnecessarily to what I can foresee will be grave temptations. Am I doing wrong? Yes. But I trust God. All right, you trust God, but your trust in God must be a wise, a balanced trust. Number 114. How are the four moral virtues related? I've got four categories. Faith, hope, and charity, the moral virtues, along with the gifts, are all infused when sanctifying grace is received. So that even though in our minds we distinguish maybe the three theological and four moral virtues, de facto, at baptism, we see all seven virtues. Second, they all grow infallibly through reception of the sacraments. In other words, just because we've gone to Mass and received Holy Communion today, all seven virtues in each one of us have increased. Yeah, more faith, more hope, more charity, more prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. But this is what I tell people. It's one thing to hear this academically. It is something else to act on it. Therefore, because I know that my virtues have been strengthened, therefore, I will do things, say, dare to do things, undertake or am willing to suffer things, say, this afternoon, that I was not equipped to do this morning.